the opportunity to stand here and speak to you this morning. Kathleen, will you get Psalms 34 and 18 for me?
34 and 18?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Sister Karen, will you get Psalms 51 and 17? And Brother David, will you get Matthew 5, 44 and 45?
Amen.
And I'll get to you during time, okay?
Amen.
In my time spent with the Lord this week, and especially last night, the Holy Spirit woke me up after being totally exhausted from a week of emotion and attending two funerals this week, one on Tuesday and another on Saturday, and on Saturday during the eulogy. And having things already written out to minister for this morning, and the Lord just woke me up in the middle of the night and said, I want you to teach this. Just as most of Jesus' followers wanted dominion and prosperity, Jesus' teaching of poverty and sorrow, that really don't agree with the church today.
Yes, that's right.
The teaching of poverty and sorrow. Because all the church want to hear today is about blessing, blessing, yeah. Blessing, blessing.
That's right.
And you know what? And I find with so many believers, they don't really guard their heart for the true reality of what the Word of God is saying.
Amen.
And especially the Word of God in the Beatitudes. When you face the reality of meaning of the attitude or the eight characteristics that run contrary to all current ideas about happiness, but it describes the inner joy that can be experienced by those who truly follow Jesus.
That's good. That's right.
In other words, if these are your ways of living, then you are truly blessed. For the highly enthusiastic people, you know, that's all got all this hyper enthusiasm about great blessings and all of this stuff. And that's most how most of the church world is today.
Yes.
You know, when they read the Beatitudes and really begin to study them, I cannot imagine how they feel. It's just like pouring a glass of cold water on their flaming hot enthusiasm about something that's really not true.
Yes.
You know, when Jesus was up on the mountain and when he sat down and began to teach, I know all these people was probably going all around, but they always follow Jesus wanting something from him. But then when he sat down and he began to teach, and he said, blessed are the poor in spirit.
Amen.
The humble.
Yes.
Are we truly humble?
Yes.
Right.
And Captain Lane, will you read Psalms 34 and 18 for me?
Okay. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Mm-hmm. The humble shall hear of it and be glad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears.
Mm-hmm.
They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil, and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned.
Amen.
Sister Karen, will you read Psalms 51, verse 17?
Psalms 51:17.
Yes, ma'am.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit,
yes,
a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise.
You notice what it's saying there. The humble, yes, has a broken heart.
Yes.
And you know, the thing is, if we never humble ourselves,
yes,
to the Lord, the bottom line is, he'll never be able to use you.
That's right.
Never be able to use you. You can follow the Lord all you want to. But if you humble, if you never humble yourself, you know, and the next thing is, you never receive the advantage of great joy from the Lord. You know, how can I put this? A lot of times we think, because we humble ourselves, that we allow people to walk on us. But that's not what this is saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying, humble yourself to the Lord, so he can be able to use you. The thing is, we have to quit putting ourselves upon this high pedestal with the Lord.
Right.
But humbling ourselves just as he did. He humbled himself even to the point,
yes,
that he would go down the cross.
Yes.
Just think, he humbled himself to the point that he would be born as a baby in the flesh. Child of his ancestors. And he was the king, already set before, but he humbled himself. It said, blessed are those who mourn.
Hmm.
The hurting, the ones who will weep over the tears, over the pains of, you know, I experienced a family yesterday mourning and really not mourning. And it was an emotional roller coaster to stand before people and to give them the Word of God and trying to show them the opportunity that God could bring healing and could bring comfort even in those situations. But the thing is, the Holy Spirit has to do the effectual work.
Yes. Amen.
We must allow, even in our sadness, that the Holy Spirit will move us to joy.
Right.
You know, we have situations in our families, and if everybody be honest, they got their situation in their family, that sometimes it causes you to hurt. Sometimes it causes you to mourn on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, we must trust the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That even in this time of hurting, that we allow the Holy Spirit to bring this to a place of joy.
Amen.
So many times, this year causes a lot of problems.
Yes.
When there's broken situations in families and hurt situations and families. But you know what? Sometimes it's better just to close this and allow God to do the effectual work.
Amen.
Because we can't do it.
That's right.
No matter how much we try.
Yeah.
Families that have got broken situations go to the psychiatrist, they go to marriage counseling, and all of that. Does it do it again? Just share something with you. In a former marriage, my wife wanted to go to marriage counseling. When we sat down and we had talked, and it was things that we felt like each one of us could have changed in our lives to make the marriage work better. So all the things that she had laid out to me, I pursued it for a year to do every one of them, because my desire was to make the marriage better, and it only got worse.
Mm-hmm.
So she decided that she wanted to go to this Christian marriage council. I said, okay. So I thought all about it. I'm not getting this dude $100 an hour to tell you what we can discuss between ourselves. So she went for about 3 sessions. I wouldn't go. And so he asked her to ask me to come. So you know what? I finally went. I come down off my high horse of being mad, and I went. And so he sat there, and for almost an hour, he told me all the things that my former wife had told him about me that he couldn't agree with and this, that, and the other. And he was he was still in the Navy at the time. He was a chaplain, and he was, you know, had a counselor's license. So when he finished, I said, okay, now can I talk? He said, yeah. I said, number one, how can you tell me anything about me when you don't know me?
Yeah.
Right.
And the thing is, only God knew my true heart.
Right.
He couldn't tell me nothing about my heart.
That's right.
And so I told him, I said, you know what? All of these things, did she tell you that I pursued them to do every one of them? But she ain't pursuing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at her and said, what?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I feel like I'm perfect. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Never went back to counseling again.
Yeah.
And when she went to write him a check, you know what I looked at him and told him, I want all my money back.
Yeah.
Because you haven't done a thing.
Yeah.
That's right.
I want my money. Or go ahead and call the police. I'm going to jail today.
Yeah.
So he wrote us a check. Every bit of the money she had paid him, he said, you know what? I don't know what the doctor says. You are right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Here we were, both believers, but then we pursuing outside help.
Yes.
Instead of allowing the Holy Spirit.
That's right. That's good.
To deal with the family situation. Because
yeah.
How can I come in here and tell Brother David and Sister Carolyn what's going on here? By one or the other of them's conversation. Now, we must allow the Holy Spirit to end the hurting process that we deal with in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Not only for us, but for our children and whatever. And then he said, blessed is the meek. You know, meekness is not weakness, but power under control. Can you imagine power under control? And I want to just make a reference to this. An aircraft carrier, the new Nimitz class carriers, have 4 props on them. And each one of those props, they got at full capacity, is 280,000 pounds of prop power. But you know what? They can control it.
that don't get out of whack.
Yeah.
They're not going to run flight speed and then slow down. It can be controlled. The thing is, have you allowed the Holy Spirit to control your life? You know, in meekness implies a humble acceptance of one lowly position before God.
Yes.
Have you thought about that?
Amen.
Accepting your lowly position before God. In other words, trusting Him.
Amen.
That He will handle everything and quit trying to do it ourselves. And when you trust God that He will take care of everything, the thing is, He will fulfill every promise that's been made in the Word. The thing is, we try to fulfill them ourselves. Lord, You said that You were going to save my family.
Yeah.
So we browbeat our kids and every one of our relatives till the point is they don't even want to see us. I can remember growing up, my sister, she got saved, my older sister Gwen, before any of us did. And she said the Lord had promised her that He was going to save all her family. Man, every Sunday they come down, they repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Mm-hmm. Look, on Sunday when we look where we're coming, man, every one of us disappeared. The thing is, not trusting God that He would do the effectual work. But you know what? Once she backed off, God done the effectual work.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's the thing. We have to trust God that He will fulfill His promises that He's made to us. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness.
Yes.
You know, you really hunger and thirst for righteousness. These people see justice and holiness, and most important, God, in whose presence is the fullness of joy.
Amen.
Do you really see the presence of the Lord as the fullness of your joy? In all this.
Amen.
And not see how impressed we are about how our kids play sports, how they can sing, the great jobs our children have, but then seeing the fullness of our joy is the presence of the Lord in the inside.
Yep.
You know, I love my children, and I want to see them succeed in life and have the things that the Lord has prepared for them. But the fullness of my joy must be in my hunger for righteousness.
Yes, that's right.
That I would be what the Lord has chosen me to be. Then it says, blessed are the merciful.
Yeah.
They're the helpers. Like Catherine Lane. Always so willing to help somebody.
Yes.
Always so willing to go out of her way.
Amen.
And you know what? For Christian, mercy is a spirit-led ability to manifest practical compassion.
Yes.
And careful love towards those suffering. The merciful will obtain mercy.
Amen.
And find true happiness in being merciful to others. When you are helpful, when you help somebody, do you find happiness in that?
Yes.
My daughter, she's a social worker.
Yes.
When somebody really needs help and when she's able to solve the problems that they have to be able to give them the help they need, I'm sure it's a good feeling with her.
Yes.
You know, when I think about Captain Lane to drive all the way from Wilmington down here just to spend that time with Brother David and Sister Carolyn when they're out doing need prayer. And even when we put the signs up in the community, she came and went around and helped them put up the signs. always an opportunity to be helpful.
Yes.
And the thing is, to be a helpful person, it takes compassionate heart.
Yes. That's right.
You just can't help people if you don't have compassion for them. If you notice, the Word of God says that all the people that Jesus healed, He had compassion on them.
That's right. That's good.
It didn't say He went there and said, come out. No, He had compassion. See, the thing is, when you truly know who you are, compassion is not an issue.
Yes.
It's when you don't know who you are.
Yes. Well, that is
true. Where compassion becomes a real issue. Because if you don't know who you are, you will do anything, you'll say anything.
Yes.
But when you know who you are, especially who you are in Christ, compassion is the second nature. Because compassion was a big part of Jesus' nature.
Amen.
And then it says, blessed is the pure in heart, the holy. Do you have a pure heart before the Lord? If y'all don't mind,
wow, wow.
I'm going to sit down with you.
Amen. But
do you have a pure heart before the Lord?
Amen.
And it says a pure heart is holy.
Yes.
Do you have a holy heart before the Lord? People who have godless motives and that's innocent and without deception.
Amen.
If you've got a pure heart, what you do is innocent.
Yes.
It's not deceptive.
Yes.
You don't do something to deceive somebody.
Amen.
You do it because you have an innocent heart.
Right.
And you know what the next thing is? If you got a pure heart, you'll have holy thoughts and a clean conscience.
Amen.
In the scripture, those who are most holy are also most joyful.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a holy and a pure heart before the Lord, innocent, and it's not about you.
Yes.
It's about Him. You know, the biggest calamity between most people is not having a pure heart.
Yes.
Not having a holy heart.
That's good.
And if you don't have a pure heart, or if you're not innocent before the Lord, you're not going to be that way with your fellow man.
Yeah.
You're not going to be. I went into a situation this past week where a man I know, he done blowed his whole stimulus check. He got it last week. And then went through $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gonna try to put me on a guilt trip. That, well, I'm here for you. You need to let me have $250. So I can go get my stool out of the shop. Well, you know what? The thing is, you must be responsible for your own actions.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, that's good.
And he played the thing on me about, well, you know, you got such a good heart. But the whole thing is the true reality of why you're dealing with what you're dealing with is because of the actions of your everyday life.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, so many things that go wrong for us. And if we be honest, a lot of times deception was involved.
Hmm.
Things that yes. always so sad
good.
Is because deception was involved. Hmm. Not being upfront and not being straight with the person you deal with. You know, this past week was a very emotional roller coaster for me. And I won't get into it too much, but you know, it took me back
to a time when deception was a big part of my life. Would I openly come out and hurt somebody? No. But I had a skiing fever break. And you know, when I began to look back, I said, the tragedy of all the things that I went through with is because I didn't have a pure heart. My heart was unpure.
Yes.
Deception was always there. Instead of being truthful and upfront, you know, not straight out telling a lie, but not really telling the truth.
Yeah.
Deception.
Yeah.
The next one is the peacemaker. A peacemaker is simply a healer. Are you a healer? The word translated peacemaker comes from the verb meaning to join together. It pictures two opposite forces that are now being reconciled. Brother Dave, will you read Matthew 5:44-45?
But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust.
And I simply ask, are you that type of peacemaker? You know, that is a strong statement.
Yes.
To love your enemy.
Amen.
To love somebody that you know despitefully use you, despitefully deceive you. But you know what? Peacemakers experience joy and excitement as they have reconciled with God and with one another. Can you imagine being able to intervene and to bring reconciliation from a broken situation by just spending some time on your knees in prayer and allowing the Holy Spirit to heal the situation instead of us trying to do it ourselves? A lot of times being a peacemaker is just sealing yourself up. And the last one is those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's being harassed. And as the magazine that Sister Carolyn has out there so many times, the Voice of the Martyr, those people that are being unjustly persecuted just because they choose to worship the Lord. And, you know, suffering for righteousness' sake. And how many times have you been wrongly punished for being righteous? Most of us here in America have.
Yes.
My brother David, he's dealt with a couple of situations where overseas, he ran into situations where could have turned out a lot different than they had.
That's right.
Him and Sister Carolyn both know people who are suffering and are going through bad situations just because they chose to be righteous. You know what? And suffering is never fun.
Amen.
No matter how many times we try to pretend like it is, suffering is never fun.
Right?
And those who remain faithful through it are blessed to be identified with Christ.
Yes.
Now all of these people that want to be blessed, are they willing to suffer to be identified with Christ? Jesus suffered for us. My closest statement, are we in the valley? He suffered for us.
Amen.
Are we in the valley for him? Amen. Are we willing to suffer that the Word of God would get out? Are we willing to go through some things that's not always good to us for the Word of God to get out? You know, I really don't know what, I've never been in that position where I've had to really suffer for the Word of God. And you know what? None of us really don't know what we'll do until we're placed in that position.
That's right.
We might say I will and just stand up.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know, it reminded me of something the other day when I was watching this documentary about Peter. And when Jesus, you know, he told Peter when he, you know, forgave him of the things he done and brought him back into the fold, he told Peter his last words, "You will follow me."
Yes.
Peter didn't understand it at that time, what he was talking about. But just as Jesus was crucified, Peter was crucified too. Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing is, the suffering that he went through, he chose, you know, I'm not even worthy to be crucified like Jesus was. Turn me upside down.
Yes.
You know, the thing is, Jesus suffered for us. Are we in a doubt that we won't suffer? We won't go through some hard places to be able to get the word out that people might come to the Lord. God bless you. Okay,
amen.